Ian Lewis, 43, of Standish, Lancaster, England, was interested in finding out about his family.
Ian Lewis, 他这一年43岁，他住在英国兰开谢郡的斯坦迪许，他对自己的家庭的历史很感兴趣。
He spent 30 years tracing his family tree back to the 17th century.
他花了30几年的时间把他们的家谱一直修到17世纪。
30 years.
30年呢。
He traveled all over Britain talking to 2,000 relatives about the family tree.
在这30年中他遍访了散居在英国各地的2000多个亲戚。
He even planned to write a book about how his great-grandfather left to seek his fortune in Russia and how his grandfather was expelled after the revolution.
他甚至准备写一本关于他曾祖父去俄国淘金以及他祖父是怎样被苏联革命赶出来的故事。
Then, after doing all that research, Ian Lewis made a discovery.That stopped him in his tracks.
但是当他做这些研究的时候，伊安·路易斯发现了一件事，这件事使他停了下来。
He discovered that he had been adopted.
他发现他原来是被收养的。
By birth, he was not a Lewis at all.
所以从血缘来讲，他不属于路易斯家族。
When he was adopted when he was a month old, and his real name.Was David Thornton.
当他在一个月大被收养的时候，他的真名是大卫·索顿。
And so Ian Lewis, alias David Thornton, went back to square one.
所以从那时候，伊安·路易斯，也就是大卫·索顿，重新回到起点。
He started his family research all over again in the light of his newly discovered adoption.
开始了新一轮的寻根。
Many people have had to deal with what it means to be adopted.
很多人在这一生中要面对他是被收养的这一事实。
For some, it has been traumatic, both for them and for their adoptive parents.
对某些人来讲，这个是一个非常困难的、很难理解的事情，不论是被收养的孩子，还是对他的养父母。
For others, it has been a life-changing and thrilling experience.
但是对另外一些人来讲，这被收养经历是一个新生命的开始。
One family named Carter adopted an 11-year-old boy named Jeremy.
有一个家庭名叫卡特，他曾收养了一个11岁的孩子，叫做 Jeremy.
It was an exciting day for all of them.
这一天对他们所有人来说都是很特别、很兴奋的。
Since he was abandoned as an infant, Jeremy had grown up in a succession of foster homes.
因为当 Jeremy 很小的时候，他就被遗弃，他在一系列的寄养家庭中长大。
The only times he ever saw his birth mother were the three times she had come.
他一生中只见过他的母亲三次。
She had come to town for his court hearing to block him from being adopted.
而且都是在法院，在那里他的生母是为了阻止 Jeremy 被人正式收养。
Finally, after 11 years, the judge had overcome her objections and freed the boy for adoption.
终于在11年以后，法官判定 Jeremy 的生母不能不让他被收养。
Rachel Carter had been Jeremy's fourth grade school teacher.
在收养 Jeremy 的时候，拉迪卡特是 Jeremy 的四年级老师。
The mother of three girls, her heart had gone out to this sad little boy from the first day of school.
拉迪有三个女儿，当她在 Jeremy 头一天上学的时候，拉迪就喜欢上他了。
It broke her heart.When he introduced himself by saying, I'm Jeremy, and I don't have a family.
在开学的 第一天 Jeremy 这样介绍自己。 Jeremy 说，我叫 Jeremy， 我没有家，听到这拉杰的心都碎了。
I never will because I'm too old for anybody to love me。
Jeremy 说，我也不会有家了，因为我太大了，没有人会爱我了。
At the end of the school year after the adoption was finalized, Jeremiah proudly announced to his principal, when school started, I was nobody. Now, I'm a Carter.
但当学年结束的时候， Jeremy 终于被拉吉收养。他这时候自豪地对校长说，开学的时候我还谁都不是，现在我姓卡特了。
St. Paul wanted a way to describe the Christians at Ephesus, what it meant to belong to God through Christ. And the word he chose is the word adoption.
当圣保罗在以弗所的时候，他对那里的基督徒用了收养这一个词来解释我们是如何藉着基督得儿子的名分并与神连接的。
We have been adopted by God.
我们的确是被神收养的。
Once we were nobody, now we are God's own children.
因为从前我们一文不名，而现今我们是神的后嗣。
Teacher Debbie Moon's first graders were discussing a picture and of a family.
有一次在一个小学课堂上，老师 Debbie Moon 和一般一年级的小学生一起讨论一张全家福。
One little boy in the picture had different color hair than the other family members.
那照片上有一个小男孩，他的头发的颜色与别人不一样。
One child suggested that perhaps he was adopted.
班上一个小孩说，这个小男孩可能是被收养的。
A little girl named Jocelyn J said, I know all about adoption because I'm adopted.
这时候班上有另一个小女孩，名字叫做 Jocelyn J， 她说，我知道收养是怎么一回事，因为我就是被收养的。
What does it mean to be adopted as another child?
那班上另外一个小孩就问，那你说收养是怎么一回事呢？
It means, said Jocelyn, that you grew in your mother's heart instead of her tummy.
这时候 Jocelyn 就回答说，收养就是你是长在你妈妈的心上，而不是在肚子里。
You and I grew in God's heart.
是的，你我确实是长在神的心上。
That's the only way to express it.
这真是唯一的确切的表达。
God has chosen us to be His own children.
神选择了我们作为他的后嗣。
Paul uses the term adoption 5 times in his writings.
在保罗的书信中，他用了收养这一词有5次之多。
This word does not appear in the Old Testament, nor in any of the Gospels.
这个词在旧约中从来没有出现，在新约的福音书中也没有。
It was not a Jewish concept.
因为收养它不是一个犹太人的概念。
Adoption was a Roman concept.
因为收养是一个罗马人的概念。
You will remember that Paul was a Roman citizen.
你可能还记得保罗他自己就是罗马公民。
He was quite at home with the concept of adoption.
所以他对收养这一概念并不陌生。
In the Roman world,Adoption referred to the legal proceedings in which a person takes into his family a child, not his own.
在罗马时代，收养就是通过法律手段使一个非自己生的孩子成为家庭的正式成员。
The purpose of adoption was to give the person during the adopting a legal heir.
目的是让收养人有一个法律上的后嗣。
The person who was adopted was treated as having all the privileges of an only child.
这被收养的孩子与亲生的孩子一样，享有一切的权利。
Donald Gray Barnhouse, in his book, Let Me Illustrate, explains the Pauline concept of adoption by citing an illustration from the robe by Lloyd C. Douglas.
在一本著名的书Donna Gray Barnhouse 的名叫《让我演示给你看》这本书里，他用了 Lloyd Douglas《袍子》一书中的插图来说明收养这个概念。
A character named Lucia tells about a ceremony which was held for her older brother, in which he was publicly acknowledged as the son of his father.
在这本书中，一位名叫 Lucia 的女孩描述了她哥哥被正式接纳为她父亲的儿子，成为家庭正式成员的成人礼节。
As they all assembled in the forum to see Marcellus step forward to receive the white toga of sonship, his father and a friend, Cornelius Capito, made speeches.
书中是这样讲的，大家都在讲坛前聚集，哥哥 Marcellus 上前接受那象征后嗣权的白色披肩，他的父亲和他父亲的朋友 Cornelius 都发表了演讲，然后他们将白色披肩戴在 Marcellus 肩上，使他成为正式的家庭成员。
Then they placed the white toga on Marcellus' shoulders.
然后他们就把那个白色披肩放在他身上。
Sister Lucia is so proud and happy that she is nearly beside herself with joy.
这个妹妹 Lucia 兴奋极了，看着这个仪式。虽然她只有九岁，但她很为她哥哥骄傲。
But she is only nine, and she knows that Marcellus is much older and must act like a man.
因为她知道她的哥哥马上就要成为大人了。
As Marcellus is inducted into manhood, his father makes a speech welcoming him into Roman citizen, and Marcellus's eyes fill with tears.
当 Marcellus 被接纳成人的时候，他父亲上前讲话，欢迎他成为罗马公民。这时候马塞勒的眼睛充满了泪水。
Then Cornelius Capito made a patriotic speech, reminding Marcellus that Mother Rome deserves young Marcellus' finest loyalty and commitment.
然后他们家庭的朋友 Cornelius 也发表了感人肺腑的演讲。他在演讲中提醒 Marcellus 作为公民要为罗马奉献， 要对罗马忠诚。
Thus, with the ceremony and the placing of the white toga on Marcellus' shoulders, he is publicly acknowledged as a son, introduced to manhood and to citizenship in the Roman Empire.
然后他们就把那白色的披肩放在 Marcellus 的肩上，这样他就在公众面前被正式接纳为后嗣，成为罗马帝国的一位公民。
This says St. Paul is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ.
圣保罗说，这一切的仪式就像是神由着耶稣基督为我们所做的一样。
He has clothed us with a white robe and adopted us as God's own son or daughter, that we might inherit all the glory that is God's.
他为我们穿上白衣，使我们成为神的儿女，让我们得以继承神的荣耀。
What an incredible testimony.
这怎样一种见证啊。
Paul was such an amazing man.
保罗就是这样一位神奇的人物。
Nothing ever seemed to get him down.
没有任何事情能够绊倒他。
He was writing this letter from a Roman prison.
保罗写着信的时候，他正在罗马的监牢中。
There were chains on his hands and on his feet, but not upon his heart.
保罗的手脚都带着镣铐，但是他的心却是自由的。
He had been cut off from both friends and family.
保罗在监狱里见不到他的亲朋好友。
Probably there will be no more travels to the churches, no more missionary campaigns.
也无法去教会，去各地传讲神的道。
Yet, listen to his words.
但是在这种环境中，你听他是怎么写的呢？
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing.In Christ.
保罗写道，愿颂赞归于我们主耶稣基督的父神，他在基督里曾赐给我们天上各样属灵的福气。
For he has chosen us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
就如神从创立世界以前，便在基督里拣选了我们，使我们在他面前成为圣洁，无有瑕疵。
In love, he has predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves.
又因着爱，就按着自己的意志所喜悦的，预定我们藉着耶稣基督得儿子的名分，也使他的荣耀的恩典得着称赞。这恩典是他在爱子里所赐给我们的。
Ephesians is one of Paul's four prison epistles, along with Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon.
以弗所书连同腓立比书、哥罗西书、腓立民书，是保罗的四部狱中书信。
If you were languishing in a Roman jail, would you be thinking of yourself as predestined to be adopted as God's own child?
想象一下，如果是你在罗马的监狱中受苦，你会觉得自己是按神的旨意要被收养得神儿子的名分的吗？
Paul was the ultimate positive thinker.
保罗在这里真是最大的乐观主义者了。
And why shouldn't he be?
但怎能让他不乐观呢？
He had met the risen Christ on the Damascus road.
他在去大马士革的路上见到了那复活的主基督。
His lifeHave been radically changed.
他的生命从此被改变。
He had been a persecutor of the Christian community.
保罗曾经是迫害基督徒的先锋人物。
Now he was his foremost champion.
现在他却在这信仰上跑在前面。
His heart had been filled with hate and anger and fear.
保罗的心曾经充满了仇恨、愤怒还有恐惧。
Now it was filled with love and joy and faith.
但现今他的心充满了爱、喜乐还有信心。
His arms and legs might be in chains, but not his heart, not his mind, not his spirit.
他的手脚可能为锁链所捆绑，但是他的身心灵，他的心灵却是自由的。
Christ has set him free.
是基督使他得了自由。
Can you relate to that?
不知道你有没有同样的体会。
Some people can.
我知道有些人的确是有这样的体会的。
They really can.
他们确实是这样的。
Open up. This is the police.Voices shouted.
快开门，我们是警察。门口有人大声喊道。
For an instant, Mike thought the television was on really loud downstairs.
刚开始 ,Mike 他还以为是楼下的电视开得太响了。
The next instant, he was flushing crack cocaine down the toilet.
在他明白过来，警察真的就在他的门口， 他赶紧把那白粉冲下厕所。
When the police burst through his door, Mike was high, but his apartment was clean.
当警察破门而入的时候，麦克正高着，但是房里是干净的。
Stand up, one officer ordered.
站起来，一位警官命令他。
Get on the floor, another bar.
趴在地上，另一位对他喊道。
Slowly, slowed by the drugs, Mark just stared.
麦克愣愣地看着这两位警官，他的药劲儿还没有缓过来。
An officer threw him to the floor.
一位警官上前把他按倒在地。
Another hit him in the face with his gun.
另一位拿枪托砸了一下他的脸。
Mike thought that he was going to die.
麦克觉得他是要死了。
Then the thought crossed his mind. No one would care.
但是这时候一个念头从他的心里穿将出来，反正也没有人在乎我，他想。
Mike was lucky, however.
麦克他还算走运。
The police left with no drugs and no arrests.
警察因为没有找到毒品，也就没有逮捕他。
Still, Mike sat shaking.
但是麦克在警察走后，坐在那儿簌簌发抖。
He decided it was a time for a change.
他真的不想那样过下去了。
He walked downtown to a mission that he knew would receive him.
他知道城里有一个布道团会收留他。
He asked a chaplain to help him connect him to Christ.
他在那里问那牧师怎样才能信基督。
Then Mike signed on for a drug rehabilitation program.
他在那里参加了戒毒所。
It doesn't take long to detoxify, but it takes several years to break an addiction.
戒毒费时并不是特别长，但是完全消除那毒瘾发作花了好几年时间。
But he did break it, as others have done, through the power of the risen Christ.
但是最终麦克还是靠着基督的力量，像许多人一样戒掉了他的毒瘾。
That's a true story from a major Midwestern city.
这是中西部一个真实的故事。
At last check, Mike was clean.
麦克后来一直没有再吸毒。
He had hit bottom, but he dare hope for a new start.In Jesus Christ.
我们看到从这个故事里看到，虽然麦克跌到了人生的最低谷，但是耶稣基督给了他新生命。
Paul would have understood that young man's situation.
保罗若在的话，他一定会理解麦克的心境。
Paul has made a total and a complete change in his own life.
因为保罗他自己的生命也经历了那全新的改变。
Once he was a rigid, angry young man who was so zealous about the way he had been brought up that he persecuted fellow Jews when they turned to Christ.
在这之前，保罗是一个严厉的、愤怒的青年，他为自己的身世而骄傲，他狠狠地追剿那些信基督的犹太人。
He even participated in the death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr.
当为基督献身的第一位烈士斯提凡被处死的时候，他就在那边上。
But now he was a new person.
但现在他是一个全新的人了。
His heart had experienced such a radical change that now he was reaching out not only to his fellow Jews,but also to Gentiles, the very people he had been brought up despising.
保罗的心灵经历了那样的转折，以至于保罗不光向犹太人，还向他从来都看不起的外邦人传道。
In fact, he had become the great missionary to the Gentiles.
最终保罗成为了外邦人的使徒。
By the way, do you know why Paul was no longer called Saul in the book of Acts?
另外，你们知道为什么保罗在《使徒行传》中他不再叫做扫罗了吗？
Was it something that happened at his conversion on the Damascus Road?
是在去大马士革的路上神给了他一个新名字吗？
Many of us might assume that, but read this story.
很多人读这个故事后都是这样认为的。
He is still called Saul for some time after his conversion.
但是你仔细读一下，你就会发现，保罗在那以后的很长一段时间还称自己为扫罗。
Here's what happened, and it demonstrates how thoroughly Paul was changed.
但保罗真正完全改变的过程是这个样子的。
Remember,Saul had been a Pharisee's Pharisee.
你们一定记得保罗自称是法利赛人中的法利赛人。
Pharisee means set apart.
法利赛在犹太人中是分别的意思。
Pharisee was obsessed with maintaining purity from contamination from non-Jewish influence.
法利赛人他们拼命的要在外邦人的坏影响中保持自身的洁净。
And that included non-Jewish people.
就是所有那些外邦人，就是那些非犹太人。
After Saul met Christ, however, Saul so identified with these feeble Gentiles that he formally despised that he no longer signed his letters with his Hebrew name, Saul.But it was his Greek or with his Gentile name, Paul.
但是当扫罗遇见了基督以后，他经历了彻底的改变，他开始与那些他原来看不起的外邦人认同，爱他们，甚至用希腊外邦人的名字保罗，而不是希伯来的名字扫罗来称呼自己了。
Now, as Newcastle Paul Harvey would say, you know the rest of the story.
后面的故事就像新闻主播 Paul Harvey 惯常所说那样，就是众所周知的了。
That is why Paul no longer uses Jewish name Saul.
这就是保罗为什么不用犹太名字扫罗的缘故。
He loved the people he once hated.
他现在爱那些曾经他恨过的人。
We cannot overcome how completely the change was in Paul's life.
我们不要轻看保罗生命中的这种改变。
He could speak of God's glorious grace because he had experienced that grace up close and personal.
他能有这样彻底的改变，能够这样用爱来描述神的荣耀，是因为他亲身经历了那恩典的缘故。
There's a wonderful fable about a frog. A lady frog who begged the genie to turn her into a princess.
从前有这样一个童话，这是关于一个青蛙的故事。一只青蛙，它求那个精灵把它变成一位美丽的公主。
The genie clicked his fingers. Immediately, the frog was transformed into a gorgeous princess.
这精灵打了一个响指，青蛙立时就变成了一位美丽的公主。
Later, the princess accompanied the genie to a fancy restaurant.
后来，这个青蛙公主陪着精灵去了一个豪华的餐厅。
The princess was thrilled to be treated so royally, of course.
青蛙公主为所受的款待大为兴奋。
But she could find nothing on the menu that she liked.
但是他在那餐厅的菜单上找不到他所爱吃的东西。
She asked the genie if she could order her favorite dish.
然后他就问那精灵，他可不可以点一个他最喜欢的菜。
Yes, of course, the genie said.
当然可以了，精灵说。
The princess turned excitedly to the waiter and said, I'll have a large plate of flies.
然后呢，青蛙公主转头向侍者说道：“给我上一大盘苍蝇吧。”
The moral is clear.
这个故事很清楚。
The princess may have been a beautiful young woman on the outside, but on the inside, she was still a frog.
青蛙公主外表虽然像一个美丽的公主，但她的内心还是青蛙。
St. Paul was no frog pretending to be a follower of Christ.
但保罗不是像这青蛙，徒有追随基督的外表。
He was the real thing.
他是真正的基督徒。
So he could speak firsthand about the glories that await those who are adopted by the Father.
所以保罗才能这样的向那些等待被神收养的人这样的赞美神的荣耀。
And he could write, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms.With every spiritual blessing in Christ.
所以保罗才能这样写道，愿颂赞归于我们主基督耶稣的父神，他在基督里曾赐给我们天上各样属灵的福气。
For he has chosen us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
就如神从创世以先，在基督里拣选了我们，使我们在他面前成为圣洁，无有瑕疵。
In love, he has predestined us to be adopted to be his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves.
又因爱我们，就按着自己的意志所喜悦的预定我们及着耶稣基督得儿子的名分，使他荣耀的恩典得着称赞，这恩典是他在爱子里所赐给我们的。
In 1981 Jimmy Gibson made a decision to follow Christ.
在1981年有一个人叫 Jimmy Gibson， 他决志信主。
That may not seem like a big dealBut consider this, at the time that he made his commitment, Jimmy Gibson was an inmate in Ireland's McGillan prison.
这决志信主对我们来说好像没有什么，但是你想一想，当 Jimmy 他决志的时候，他还在爱尔兰的监狱里服刑。
Jimmy Gibson was a Protestant terrorist.And he made a career of killing Catholics in terrorist attacks.
Jimmy Gibson, 他原先是一个新教的恐怖分子，一生都在用恐怖行为来杀害爱尔兰的天主教徒。
Jimmy Gibson knew that his new life in Christ would mean giving up his hatred of Catholics.
当他信主的时候， Jimmy 知道在基督里的新生命意味着停止对那天主教徒的仇恨。
So one evening at dinner, he deliberately sat down at a table full of Catholic inmates.
所以那天晚上，他就故意坐在一群天主徒囚犯中间。
That was asking for trouble.
这简直就是在找麻烦。
Jimmy sat next to an inmate named Lyon McCloskey and said,Brother, I want to tell you about Jesus.
Jimmy 坐在一个叫做 Lamb 的囚犯边上，他说，兄弟，我想与你分享耶稣。
The mess hall was silent as Jimmy Gibson told about his newly acquired faith.
混乱的餐厅一下子就安静下来，大家都聚精会神地听他要讲他的新信仰。
Among those who were deeply affected was Lyon McCloskey.
在 Jimmy 讲的过程中， Lyon 被深深地打动了。
A bridge was built between these former enemies.
一种新的关系在这两个原本为敌人的人之间建立了起来。
In 1983,The two men spoke at a reconciliation conference in Northern Ireland.
在1983年，他们两个人在北爱尔兰一个聚会中同台演讲。
Once they were sworn enemies. Today they call each other brother.
他们原本是不共戴天的仇敌，现在都是弟兄了。
Friend, that is the gospel.
朋友们啊，这就是福音的力量。
People who cannot find hope anywhere else can find it in Jesus Christ.
在这世上绝望的人只能在基督中找到希望。
People who feel unloved, unworthy, undeserving suddenly discover who they are. Children of God, heirs of life eternal.
那些不被人爱，自己觉得没有价值，被厌弃的人，他们都会在基督里发现自己原是神的子女，都有永生的份。
It doesn't matter what we have done in the past, how often we have failed, how great a disappointment our lives may be.
不管我们做过什么，有过多少失败，生活原本是多么的无望。
Christ has made it possible for us to be made whole by the power of the Most High God.
基督借着那至高神的力量，使我们在神里都能归于合一了。
In Reader's Digest years ago, a contributor told about an Aunt Ruby.And Uncle Arnie, who had adopted a baby boy after 5 years of trying unsuccessfully to succeed.
让我们回到这个收养的这个概念来。几年前，读者文摘有一篇文章讲到一个人，一个家庭 ，Ruby 阿姨还有 Arnie 大叔，他们经过了5年的试图生养。但是他们失败了，在那之后他们领养了一个男婴。
As it often happens, much to their surprise, a short time after the adoption, Aunt Ruby discovered that she was pregnant.
但是在他们收养了这个男孩不久， Ruby 阿姨发现自己怀孕了。
And she gave birth to a boy.
不久她也生了一个男孩。
One day when the two boys were 8 and 9 years old, the teller of the story was visiting Aunt Ruby, and a woman in the neighborhood came to visit.
过了一些年，当这两个孩子一个8岁一个9岁的时候，这篇文章的作者还有 Ruby 阿姨的一个邻居来拜访他们。
Observing the children at play, the woman asked, "Which boy is yours, Ruby?"
那邻居看见两个孩子在一起玩，就问哪个孩子是你的 ，Ruby？
Both of them, Aunt Ruby replied.
两个都是 ，Ruby 阿姨回答道。
But the caller persisted. But I mean, which one is adopted?
但是那邻居还不甘心，他接着问，我是问你哪个是你收养的
？Aunt Ruby did not hesitate.
卢比阿姨没有犹豫。
She looked straight at her guest and replied, "I've forgotten."
她面对着客人，一字一句地说：“我不记得了。”
As Craig Brian Lawson writes, "When we are adopted as God's children, we quickly come to cherish our Heavenly Father's forgetfulness."
就像 Craig Lawson 曾经写到的那样，当我们成为神的子女的时候，我们会很快地爱上天父的忘性。
He has chosen to forget our sins, for to forget our wayward past, and to give us the full rights of sons and daughters.
因为神他选择了忘记我们的罪，忘记我们那不光彩的过去，神也给了我们做儿女的全部的权利。
He treats us as if we have never sinned.
神对待我们好像我们从未犯罪一样。
That's the good news for this day.
这就是我们今天的信息了。
God has adopted us as God's own sons and daughters.
那永生的神接纳我们成为他自己的后嗣。
So we are now heirs of eternal life.
我们现在是永生神的子女了。
So in our Bible lesson for today, we learn that all of us are adopted if we believe in Jesus.
在今天的经文中，我们都读到，我们藉着信耶稣得到神儿子的名分。
God adopted us into His own very special family.
通过信耶稣，神接纳我们进入天家。
In fact, we have the same inheritance or rights as Jesus.
神也使我们同耶稣一样有神的产业。
So isn't that amazing?
这难道不是伟大奇妙的事情吗？
God loves us and accepts us just as fully as His only Son, Jesus.
神爱我们，像爱自己亲生的儿子耶稣一样。
That makes us, each one of us, very special in God's sight, doesn't it?
它也使我们每一个人在神的眼中视为宝贵。
So let us always give thanks to God for His love and for His wonderful gift. Amen.
让我们一起感谢神那珍贵的礼物。Amen.